Good morning, everyone. So, as Margot said, today we start our new sermon series. We're going to be thinking about the kingdom of God, and also over the next few weeks, we're going to be reflecting on our strap line. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you individually what it is. We are going to be reflecting on our strap line, which is worshipping God, serving community, and sharing life. So, some of us here this morning, you may be very clear what the phrase the kingdom of God means. Others of us may have a rough idea of its meaning, and then there's some of us who have absolutely no idea what the meaning of the kingdom of God is. So, what do we mean when we speak of the kingdom of God? Hopefully, by the end of the next few weeks, we will have a clear understanding of that phrase and we'll be able to answer the question, what is the kingdom of God? Let's make a start by reflecting on the readings we've just heard this morning. So Daniel was certainly buttering up Nebuchadnezzar before he started to interpret his dream. Daniel said to the king, "Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed humanity and all the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold." So, that's the first kingdom. Then Daniel explains that another kingdom will arise, and then a third kingdom, one of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. And then he explains a fourth kingdom. And this kingdom will be divided. We heard about iron and clay. This kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And the people of this kingdom will be a mixture as well, and they won't be united. Sounds a bit familiar, don't you think? Daniel then goes on to say that during these times, the God of heaven will establish, he'll set up a kingdom. And that kingdom will never be destroyed. It will endure forever. Could this be the kingdom of God? So what does our gospel reading say to us about the kingdom of God? I actually believe this is much more personal to each and every one of us. And why I believe this is because I think in some of these verses, Jesus is really challenging us to recognize our wrongs and to believe in the good news. He's not messing about. Listen to verses 14 and 15 again. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus isn't saying here, "Think about it." He's actually demanding we do something. Let us have a think about the command that Jesus is giving us here. Believe the good news. I don't know about you, but one of the most challenging questions I am asked is simply this. If God is who he says he is, why is the world in such a bad place? Why do so many people still die of cancer, still die of hunger? Why are there still so many wars in the world? If Jesus is Lord and he has all power, and we have the Holy Spirit and the wonderful good news of the gospel, what is going on? Why is the world not in a better shape? Have any of these questions ever crossed your mind? For hundreds of years, New Testament scholars have unanimously agreed that Jesus' basic message was concerned with the kingdom of God. All through Jesus' ministry here on earth, that's what he preached, the kingdom of God. Think back to verses 14 and 15 again. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. What did Jesus mean when he said the kingdom of God? Is the kingdom of God the Christian religion? Is the kingdom of God the church? No, I don't think so. Is the kingdom of God heaven? Not really. Later during our service, and I'm sure most of us or all of us here every day say the Lord's Prayer. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. So what is this all about? Well, I think simply, the kingdom of God is what things would be like if God ran everything. Just stop and think about that. The kingdom of God is what things would be like if God ran everything. Whatever we mean by heaven, not just bliss to come, but heaven, it must mean perfection, no flaws. There God is perfectly worshipped, adored, and served. His name is hallowed. There his kingdom is complete, and there his will is done. So it is in heaven. That's what makes it heaven. God's undisputed, undivided kingdom, where God's name is exalted and glorified, and God's will is perfectly and instantly and ceaselessly done. Heaven is a place of holiness, bliss, and peace. And if it could be so here on earth, we could have heaven on earth, the kingdom of God. Can you remember a few weeks ago, our sermon series was on the Beatitudes? They are such a beautiful, radical call to live as we are created to be, to attempt to live a Christ-like life. I suggest that if we all lived that way, then there would indeed be heaven on earth. Wars, cruelty, exploitation, greed, and sheer terror, the stuff that we inflict on one another, could not exist in the context of living the Christ-like life. So, in its widest sense, the kingdom of God can be defined simply as the realm where God rules. God's reign is God's active involvement in creation and in history. God's kingdom is in the process of coming as God's purposes are accomplished in the world, particularly in and through God's people. That is us here. Let me repeat that. The kingdom of God can be defined simply as the realm where God rules. God's purposes are accomplished in the world through his people. Most of you know me really well by now, and that when I'm preaching, I like to leave us with something to do. I'm a great believer that actions speak louder than words, so you're not let off today, okay? I'd like you now to all cast your mind back to 2016. When, as members of a benefice, we made a covenant We made a promise. And our strapline reflects this promise. Let me remind you of that promise we made. It was to share resources of all kinds, to get to know one another, to work with, listen to, support, and value one another, to determine to play our part gracefully in the improvement and strengthening of communications, and to commit ourselves to ongoing prayer. Now, if we took these promises and not only applied them in our benefit, but we took them further afield into our everyday life, this may be a way of God's purposes being accomplished in this world. Let me explain. To share resources of all kinds. A child from a very, very young age is encouraged to share its toys. As adults, we need to remember to share all we have, to get to know one another and to work with, listen to, support and value one another. Like I've said, transfer this wider than our benefits into our community, nationally, globally. Have a think about it. If we took time to get to know people, not just those that we like and we feel comfortable with, but be brave, step out of our comfort zone. Get to know people properly. Listen to them. Listen to each other. Show our appreciation. It doesn't take much to say please and thank you. And a smile goes a long way. And next, to determine to play our part gracefully in the improvement and strengthening of communications. Now, it goes without saying, if communication is improved, whether that's within a close relationship, here in church, at work, the world would be a better place. There'd be no misunderstandings. People would be clear of each other's expectations. And then finally, to commit ourselves to ongoing prayer. Like I said, we'll say the Lord's Prayer shortly. We will say, "Your will be done." It's founded on both belief and the experience that God's will is absolutely right and good. And that when we make the choice to follow that will, it proves to be richly life-enhancing, life-giving, and God's kingdom comes as his will is done. We're a long way off from the ideal world, and it may not come in our lifetime. But if we are wholeheartedly working in that direction, trying to lead a Christ-like life, then we're doing what God wants us to do. By living out our strapline, worshipping God, serving community, sharing life, we will be going some way to accomplishing God's purposes here on earth. So the answer I asked at the beginning to the question, what does the phrase the kingdom of God mean? Well, in its widest sense, the kingdom of God simply is the realm where God rules. God's kingdom is in the process of coming as God's purposes are accomplished in the world, particularly in and through God's people. And that's each and every one of us here. So the action for us to take away this morning is to attempt to live a Christ-like life. Live out our strapline, worshipping God, serving community, sharing life, so that God rules and his kingdom comes. Amen.